Okay. So today, like to focus on, at the beginning at least, really an entire shiur, really on the role of Shmia within the mitzvah of Shofar. Right? So again, it's clear from the Mishnah, right? Shalom, which Mishnah makes it clear that Shmia is a requirement, no matter what you say together on mitzvah is? Exactly. Tokel es ochabor. Right, the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Beis makes it very clear that Shmia is a requirement. Right, so the question is, how are all the approaches going to understand this requirement of Shmia? So it's clear that lesman depolik, no one can argue about whether Shmia is a requirement. That's clear in the Mishnah. The question is why. So let's go through quickly all of the approaches and develop why this is going to be a requirement. So again, Shlomo, within which approach is it the easiest to understand why Shmia is a requirement? Within which general approach? Meaning which approach to the Geder HaMitzvah would most easily understand why you must hear the Kiyah Shofar? Maybe I'm not being clear in the question. Gavi, do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If you think that the Geder HaMitzvah is the Shmia, right? If you think that the Geder HaMitzvah is the Shmia itself, so then it's quite obvious why Shmia is going to be a requirement, right? So again, within approach number one, that the Geder HaMitzvah is the Shmia, we easily understand the Mishnah on Chav Zayin. And in fact, many of the Rishonim, many of the Mefarshim, within that approach actually cited the Shmia requirement as a Raya to the Shmia approach, right? We saw that in Rashi and Sefer Pardes, right? In earlier Shirim, explicitly cited the Mishnah Chav Zayin to say a proof that the Geder HaMitzvah is a Shmia is this Mishnah Chav Zayin that Shmia is a requirement. Right? And the Tur also quoted this Mishnah as a Raya that Shmia is the Geder HaMitzvah. And similarly, the Rambam in Shuvah, he didn't necessarily quote this Mishnah, but quoted, he said, oh, if the focus was on Tekiah, then someone who is Tokeah without hearing would still be Yotze. But since we know that it's not, presumably because of Chav Zayin HaMiz, right? Because we know that you must hear, right? So basically Rashi, the Rambam, and the Tur are all basically saying the requirement of Shmia proves that the Geder HaMitzvah is Shmia. So that's according to the Shmia approach. We can easily understand why you need to hear. And even according to approach number three, you need that the Geder HaMitzvah is both the Shmia and the Tekiah, we also understand why you need to hear it, because part of the Geder HaMitzvah is the Shmia. It's the same type of idea. But again, according to which approach are we going to have to work a little harder to understand why Shmia is a requirement? Tekiah approach. Right? And the big question is going to be... Exactly. Same idea. Exactly. And the either or. Right? If you think that the Tekiah, that the Geder HaMitzvah is the Tekiah, the question is going to be, so if the focus on the Tekiah, if someone is Tokeah without hearing it, why wouldn't there be Yotze? Exactly what the Rambam says specifically. Rambam says, if the mitzvah is the tekiah, then if someone is tokeah without hearing, they should still be yotze. So why is that not the case? Why, according to the tekiah approach, is there still a requirement of Shmia? So which makor did I have you see that addresses this issue explicitly? Yeah? Exactly. The Shut Maharam al Ashkar, right? This is he is a late Rishon. Amongst the Chachmei Svarad, the Spanish Rishonim, on the later side, but a Rishon nonetheless. So Isaac, how does he explain why? Let's read inside. Right, it's the first makor on the Makor sheet. Very important to see this inside. This is Maharam al Ashkar explaining why, according to the Tiki approach, is there still a requirement of Shmia? Go for it. And also other Chachmitz Sarfas, sorry, French, right, Ashkenazi Rabbanim who follow Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, continue. And whoever the Shoal said that maybe even the Pshat, remember we had this earlier, maybe even Rabbi Tam holds to the Shmi approach. Remember the first year we said the Rav had such a mahalach, Prichadash had his mahalach, Rav Malashka is not having anything of it. Come on, don't stick the Shmi approach into Rabbi Tam. Lo Madina Le, I don't agree, Lamar, Bahachi. Why?
The Hanuk Shekotsu Mitzvot HaSei with Koa, Mubarakin Adhiyah.
Right? If they formulate, as we said, if they formulate the mitzvah in terms of tekiah, and they think the nesochah bracha is the tekiah, the bracha is the gather mitzvah is the tekiah. Don't try to shtup in, don't try to stick in a shmiah approach there. Right, it's all focused on the tekiah. So now the question is going to be, or he doesn't ask it in question answer form, but the question is, so if the gather mitzvah is the tekiah, so then why do you need a shmiah?
Right, so
stop there. So what is the Maharam Alashkar's answer? That elsewhere you find that even though the Gedra Mitzvah is the Kriya, you still need, there's still a Tanai that needs to be heard. What's the context that the Maharam Alashkar is coming off of? Isaac?
Kriyashma,
and you know, Agav Kriyashma is Tefillah, right? This idea that in Tefillah and Kriyashma, which is the Daraisa, right? Where you have this idea that even though the Gedra HaMitzvah is the Kriya, yet there is a necessary Tanai that you must hear the words coming out of your mouth. So Maharam Alashkar is suggesting, carry that over, that just like by Kriyashma and Tefillah, you have this idea that the Gedra HaMitzvah is the Kriya, but yet there's a Tanai of Shmiah. So too, you can explain for a shofar that even though the Gedra HaMitzvah is the Tekiah, there still is a Tanai that you must hear. Yaakov and then Shaul.
Why is it treated as like no big deal the last like few words that he says? Oh,
we're going to get there in a second. Hold off 1 second, the discrepancy.
Right, but, that seems like a big deal.
Exactly, we're going to get there in a moment. You can get there in a moment. Excellent, Yaakov. We'll get there in a moment. Shaul? Okay, we'll get there in a moment. Exactly. So let's just first analyze it, and then we'll ask the kasha that you guys are all bothered by. Excellent. So what the Maharam Alashkar is suggesting is that just like by Kriya Shema and Tefillah, the mitzvah is Kriya, yet there's a Tanai of Shmia, so to my shofar, the mitzvah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is the Tekiah, yet there's a Tanai of Shmia. Before even asking that basic question, the fact that the Maharam Alashkar is so willing to carry over a din from the realm of Tefillah to shofar, what might that suggest, Yishurin?
That
shofar is a din in tefillah, right? If not for the fact that shofar itself is similar to tefillah, it would be a very strange comparison. Just because by tefillah you have this tanai of shmia, why would that carry over to shofar? So again, this first answer, right, to the question of why, within the tekiah approach, why do you need a shmia? So the first mahalach is that it's a general din in tefillah. This is suggested by the Maharam Alashkar, or just the first ha'ara is that the fact that he's willing to carry over a general din of tefillah, right, over to shofar seems to work out very nicely if tekiah is midin shofar. And we pointed out, you know, in Pashirim, right, the tekiah approach generally works out very nicely with the tefillah approach. They're all the pasha's outward focus. So the fact that the tekiah approach would also adopt that it's a din in tefillah works out very nicely. Yes, Moshe.
Just a question on his logic. Learning it from Krishna, right?
Yes.
So he ends it, El Dahafa in Bo Shama Yatzav Hafa Loya.
Yeah, so
there.
Yes, so we're going to do that right now. So let's do it right now. So Moshe, right. So after the Maharam Alashkar suggests his comparison, he basically now, sort of without asking a question on himself, basically asks a Baam Kash on himself. And that's what I think what Yaakov and Shalom are getting at. So what's the big discrepancy?
So El Dahafa in Bo Shama Yatzav Hafa by Krishna.
Yeah.
Right, that is Mahalas Naim, but we say we're passing that if you don't hear it, then you're yotze. But by shofar, we know that you're not yotze because it's the fork is.
Exactly. So, right. So the Maharam Alashkar in his presentation just makes like, oh yeah, by the way, there's a little discrepancy here, but I think everyone's saying, let's reformulate it. This is a Baam Kasha, right? If the basis of the Tanai of Shemiah is the Din and Tefillah, so then there shouldn't be any discrepancies. And as exactly what Moshe was referring to, right, there is a Machlokas Tanaim in Brachos Tesvav and Aleph, I had you guys see, a Machlokas Tanaim about whether this Tanai of Shemiah applies to Kriya Shema. Rav Yossi says there is such a Tanai. The Rabbanan say there is no such Tanai. And we Paskin like who? Who do we passing like? We passing like the Rabbanan. Passing the Chachamim, that there is no Tanai of Shmiah by Kriya Shema and by Tefillah. So the question on this approach is that it's very difficult to explain the Tanai of Shmiah by Shofar based on the Tanai of Shmiah by Tefillah if Lemaisa, Right? According to, you know, the psak, we reject that tanai in the context of tefillah, and therefore it shouldn't carry over to shofar if the din of shofar of needing shmia simply stems from the din of tefillah. Yeah.
So you don't have to go so far to ask this kashi. You can ask this kashi to stem on the whole way we were explaining together of there's the shofar about the idea that it's both shmia and then you know, tefillah. Everybody was saying that the point is it's because it's tefillah, it's megather as a shmia.
So yeah, but we're working within.
No, we're saying we're working within the tekiah approach.
Yeah, exactly. We're working. I mean, it's all within the tekiah approach.
I'm saying, the same terrace we said over there could just be.
Okay, good. We're gonna get to that in a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, Rabbi. I was thinking that maybe you're giving a hesber, let's say, for both tzadim. If you say the tefillah and whether she believe, because you're looking with this idea, then at a very minimum, you always know what your tefillah's thoughts are. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to mean maven, let's say, you're above us, and you understand at least a little bit. So therefore, even if you don't actually say it out loud, you know what your tefillah, is, and Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what your tefillah is. Mashenkin by tekiah, tekiah is expressing a tefillah which you yourself don't even know. So granted, a Kadosh Baruch Hu can hear it. Which always hear, but if you don't hear it, you're not going to have that avodah shebelev, so it's not going to be a full tefillah. You're not going to have the outward and inward. So you have to have a shmiah.
You're saying the inward is more important.
No, the more important, you need to have that inward.
What?
You need to have that inward aspect. By regular tefillah, let's say, whether you actually hear what you're saying or not hear what you're saying, you're always going to have that inward aspect, because you know what you're saying. Tefillah is expressing something which you yourself don't know yet. It's waking up. It's a cry which you can't express. So first you need to hear it. Therefore, you always need to hear it. I'm saying, if by tefillah, you don't always have that hearing, but you don't need that hearing, because you already know your own self. By shofar, you don't know what it is yet, so you have to hear it, because otherwise it's not a tefillah.
Okay, interesting. We're going to suggest something parallel, but different. That's a very nice idea, you're sure. Yeah, I'll go.
I was going to say, why are you saying Christmas tefillah?
Well, Kriya Shema, meaning Kriya Shema is a d'oraisa, right? Is a d'oraisa, and I believe that this machlokas also carries over to tefillah as well. Ibel Hashmila Ozna. Meaning it's similar to tefillah, yeah. What?
Yeah, because you're just like reading to yourself.
I mean, if you were to like, what?
I'm just saying, like,
I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, meaning, do you admit that the dimyon between shofar and kriya shema makes more sense if you think that shofar is a din in tefillah? Does it make shofar more similar to kriya shema than it would have been if shofar wasn't a din in tekiah? Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's my har. I mean, I'm saying, like, it's a very strange dimyon. If you don't think that tekiah, that shofar is a din in tefillah. To carry over the tanai of shmia by kriya shema to shofar would be very, very strange. I think it helps a lot if you think that shofar is a din in tefillah. Right, it's not the same exact thing, but at least it's much more similar. I mean, the dimyon would make sense. That's what I'm saying. Okay, good? Okay, good. Oh. So again, so we're still holding by the, right, notwithstanding Yishurin's answer. But again, so far we basically asked the question that basically within the tekiah approach, why do you need this, why is there a tenai? Moshe, you know why is there a tenai of shmiah? So the first answer by the Shut Maharam Alashkar is that, it's a general din in tefillah. You point out the problem with that is that lemaisa, lehalacha, we don't hold that tenai of shmiah in the realm of halacha, so it'd be hard for that to carry over to tefillah. So I'd like to suggest, along the lines of Yishurin, that perhaps this is a special din in shofar, right? Perhaps this is the requirement of this of tanai of shmia is a special din of shofar, and I'd like to suggest connecting to what we developed in the past. We pointed out that the particular right within the approach that that the tekiah is midin tefillah. We pointed out, but what type of tefillah is it? Right, what type of, it's just a sound. What type of tefillah is it? So we connected it to the themes of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. That perhaps the tefillah, right, during Malchios, is we're trying to be Mamlech Hashem, and that's our tefillah to Hashem. We want to be Mamlech you. The tefillah during Zichronos, that we're offering a tefillah, you know, like, oh, remember, you know, the Zikaron of Akedah Yitzchak and everything that implies. And then the Shofros, it's a tefillah that, you know, we're recognizing your Hashra Shechina, your presence in the world. Once you understand, right, that the content, that the character of the tefillah of the shofar relates to the Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, perhaps we can now explain why, even though the Iker Geder is the tekiah, to present this these tefillos to Hashem. But perhaps within these themes, we'll go through each one, we can understand why there's also a tenai of Shmiah. So in short, while Maran Alashkar was saying it's a general din in tefillah, we're now suggesting that maybe it's a specific din in the tefillah of Shofar. Specifically the themes of the tefillah of Shofar connects to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofar. So let's go through each one. Within the first part, that it's a tefillah of Malchios. So again, Yishurim, what are we doing in the tefillah of Malchios? We're
coronating the king.
We're coronating the king. We're being Mamlech Hashem. So on one level, the Iker is to offer that coronation to Hashem. But within that perspective, we can also understand why there's a tznai for everyone to hear it. Why, Yishurim? I mean, and the Binyan Av, remember, spells this out. Why? What's the value for everyone hearing the coronation?
So they can accept it on themselves.
Exactly. The whole point is that everyone, all the king's subjects, hear the sound and therefore accept the hamlacha, accept the coronation of Hashem. So again, within the tefillah being, right, within the aspect of the tefillah of the shofar is being mamlech Hashem, you can understand why there's a tenai for everyone to hear, because it's important for everyone to hear that coronation, to everyone accept the malchus. And just, right, the binyan av, that head you see, right, highlights this to an extreme, right? He says that, oh, if you think that the shofar is about being Malchi, is about being Mamlech Hashem, he thinks the Iker Geder is the Shmiah, based on this idea that it's important for everyone to hear the Hamlacha. What we're saying now is slightly different. We're not going that extreme. We're saying, really, the Iker is still of the Hamlacha is the Tekiah, to right belt out this coronation. But we can still use the Binyan Av's idea that it's important for everyone to hear it to understand at least why there's a Tanai of Shmiah.
It's even more mashma that it's mamash tonight, not just stand like a hitter, because aim it's mamash tonight.
Exactly. It's the same idea. It's constantly aim alak balam. You can't have a king without subjects. So what is a hamlacha, right? What is a coronation if not for the fact that you have an am there listening to it and accepting it? Yes.
So
I'm not saying exactly like the Binyan Av. I'm just taking the point of the Binyan Av that there's an element of Shmiah to the Hamlacha, and saying not that that's the Iker Geder, but that's just the Tanai. That really the Iker Geder of Hamlacha is the Tekiah, is the outward. We're blasting this sound of coronation, but just taking the Binyan Av's idea that Hamlacha also needs to be heard by everyone to explain why Shmiah is a Tanai. I'm just taking the nekuda from the binyan av that there is a value to shmiah for the hamlacha and explaining why therefore that's a tenai in the mitzvah. The ikar is the tekiah, but yet there's a tenai of shmiah because everyone needs to hear the hamlacha in order to accept it for it to have value.
And the reason why the ikar is the tekiah, we don't care about.
No, we do care. We explained it earlier, Sharon, because just the pashtas is that when you're, blasting a shofar, to coronate the king, the pashtas, the primary is the outward tekiah. That's what I'm saying. It's the outwards, blowing of the shofar to signal that there is this hamlacha going on. But in addition to this being this outward tekiah, you also need every person to hear it to accept. That's what I'm saying. Surely?
Outward
tekiah. Yeah.
Who's saying that outward tekiah is for?
Well, again, it's
just for the people to hear.
True, but part of the symbolism. I mean, at a hamlacha, at a coronation, you have this, right? This outward, outward tekiah. But it's very symbolic.
Even there, it's for the people.
It's also the symbolic. I would say primarily, it's the symbolism of okay, we have this outward blast to highlight, this coronation, and it's important for everyone to also hear that.
This is a little bit of a sticky kasha, but then so then how come the geder of actually davening Malchios doesn't also have a din that if Moshe Mezlaznai Layatza? Because it should be an identity then, because we're saying it's
feel. It's the same because you're reading, you're internalizing it by reading it, but
we're not saying
we're gonna actually hear that.
Well, why don't you blow words out of the shofar?
Well, that's possible. Okay. I have to think about it.
I'm not sure. Part of me is saying, but other part of me is just saying, you're still internalizing it. Like, in a Hanami, the ikar is like for you to shmia. It seems to be an integral tenai on the shofar to be an integral part of the deal as well.
Interesting. I mean, it could be just the gather of, you know, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros because they're part of Tefillah. It just, you know,
it follows
the general dinim.
So, if so, then Shofros should also follow the gather.
Oh, because Shofros is its own category, right? Its own mitzvah, even if it, you know. Okay, just going through the other examples, you know. So again, you have if the shofar is a tefillah of malchios, we can understand why there'd be a tznai of shmia for everyone to accept the malchios. And the same thing with the shofros version of the hashras hashchina. Same idea that you're making this pronouncement that, oh, the king is here, right? You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is present in this world. And again, not only is it about that pronouncement, but it's also the tznai for everyone to hear that, to recognize the presence of Hashem. Where it gets a little sticky, right, to use Yeshurun's language, is right. Which of the three things are a little harder to understand the Shmiya for? Zichronos, right? Because the idea of Zichronos, as also highlighted by the Binyanov's comments, it's all about, presumably, it's all about presenting the Zikaron to Kadosh Baruch Hu. For Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember Akedas Yitzchak, and for that Zikaron to be his chuz for Klal Yisrael. So that's the question. So for the shofar during Zichronos, you know, why is there also this tenai of Shmiya there? So I'd like to suggest, based on a point that we made earlier, if you remember, I should have had you see this again, it should have hit me during davening today. Before today, it was a tzarchi in my notes, I just thought of an answer earlier today, that if you remember when we were looking at Rav Sadrigons, remember the ten inyanim, excellent story, right? The way the Rav Sag, you know, formulates the zikaron of Kedis Yitzchak is to what? To inspire us. His lashon knows about Inyan Hashishi, Laskirenu Akedas Yitzchak, Shemasar Nafshe L'Shemayim, V'chein Anachnu Nimsor Nafshinu Al Kedusha Shemo. Exactly, the Ritz also. Right, so you have within the Zikaron of Akedas Yitzchak that perhaps we're saying, not only is it about presenting a Zikaron Lifnei Hashem, which would be the Tekiah, but there's also Tanai and Shemiya for it to also have an impact on us and for us to be impacted by the mysterious Nefesh that Akedas Yitzchak represents. So perhaps we're now suggesting, just to summarize, again, the question is, oh, within the Tekiah approach, why is there Tanai of Shemiya? So the Maram Alashkar said, oh, it's a general Dinan Tefillah, right? Just you carry over the general Dinan Tefillah from Kriya Shema to Shofar. Point out the problem that the Maram Alashkar himself alludes to at the end is that there's a discrepancy because Lamaisa, we don't paskin that you need a Tanai of Shemiya by Tefillah. So how can you then carry it over to Tekiah, to Shofar? So second answer we're suggesting that perhaps maybe it's a unique din in the Tefillah of Shofar. Because the themes of the Tefillah of a Shofar, Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros are basically all focused on not only presenting this call to Hashem, whether it be the Hamlacha or the Hashras Hashchina or the Kedis Yitzchak Zikaron, but it's also us internalizing what the message is. Yeah. And therefore that would be the Tanai of Shmiya, even if the Iker Gedder is Tekiah. Sorry, Shmiya. Yeah.
Two things. One is, Lachar, you can say that same thing to answer the Shmiya approach. Why Tekiah is Megadder, why Kedis Shofar is Megadder Shmiya, whereas all of Kedis Megadder is Tefillah, right? Because of the special Tefillah of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, you can just you're supposed to focus and say that the
Shmiya
aspects that we're talking about are the
Iker. I mean, if you're assuming the Tefillah approach within Shmiya.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, fine. Right, but if within the non-Tefillah approach within Shmiya, yes, then you need something else.
Right, and then also just to answer his assurance, Kasha, is there room to say, without, you know, going too deep into the Malchus Shredder Shofros, is there room to say that the Shofar is representing a certain aspect of Malchus Shredder Shofros which would specifically reflect this part of the Tefillah, in which case this is the only part that really needs to be heard? Meaning, is there, Lachar, the Shofar is not just like a redundant, like it's not just repeating the same thing, but this time with sound. Like,
well, it could be highlighted, though. Meaning, it could be like a, you know.
I'm saying, yeah. if there's room to say that there's like
so a. Certain, it's a specific aspect of it.
Which needs to be heard specifically.
You could say that. There'd be room to say that. You have to like develop a little bit more, but there'd be room to say that. Okay. So out kind of the discussion of, you know, why there's a tznai of Shmiya within the Tekiah approach. Now I'd like to discuss a related issue. I want to run the topic of like, the role of Shmiya within the mitzvah to discuss the issue of the Cheresh HaMedaber Ve'eno Shomea. Right? Right? And just the background to this is, right, the Mishnah Chavtes HaMen Alav, right? Moshe, what does the Mishnah say about a Cheresh Shoto Katan? Exactly, that a Cheresh Shoto Katan cannot be Motzi Acher. Right, you can't be a Baal Tokeya for others. Shlomo, why can't a Cheresh Shoto Katan be Motzi others? Exactly, they are not a Bar Chiyuva. Right, literally they're not subject to the mitzvah. And why aren't they subject to the mitzvah? Exactly, because a Cheresh Shoto Katan all lack das, And since they like das, they're pata from mitzvos, and therefore, very simply, they're eino bar chiyuva, literally, right? They're not subject to the mitzvah, and when you're not subject to the mitzvah, you can't be motzi others. So the question that many mefarshim discuss is, when the Mishnah says chirish, it's talking about what type of chirish is it referring to, Uriel? When the Mishnah says chirish oto katan, what type of chirish is it?
We're saying someone that can't hear, but also someone who can't speak.
Exactly. Right, the typical chirish, this comes out of the Gemara and Chagiga, the typical chirish, when chirish oto katan are grouped together, is a chirish she'ino midaber ve'ino shomeh. Right, you call it deaf mute. Right, and therefore a deaf mute in halacha is considered ino bardas, and therefore not chayv mitzvos. But what the Mefarshim are all going to discuss in our context is, but what about a chirish hamedaber? He does speak, but the only thing he can't do is that he can't hear. So this person, right, Yaakov, is he considered a bardas? A chirish hamedaber ve'ino shomea. What did you answer?
Yeah,
exactly. Right, a chirish hamedaber ve'ino shomea is considered bardas, which means that he is chayv mitzvos, but practically, the question is, Ainachi, can a chirish hamedaber ve'ino shomea, can they practically fulfill the mitzvah of shofar? No. So that's the issue. So there's going to be a whole discussion about whether this chirish hamedaber ve'eno shomea, are they considered a bar chiyuva or not? Can such a chirish hamedaber ve'eno shomea, can he be a bal tokea on behalf of others? So before we get to the actual shitos of the mefarshim, I'd like to just point out to be makdim that there are two different issues that arise in the discussion. And it's very important to isolate these two issues, because sometimes you just equate them, it gets a little confusing. There are two distinct issues. Number one is, what is the koveya of bar chiyuva? When I say, what is the koveya of bar chiyuva? Can I guess, what are the two options?
I was going to say, like, what does that mean exactly? Like, the question that Rabbi asked is, makes someone bar chiyuva?
Exactly. What makes someone an eino bar chiyuva?
Eino bar chiyuva, l'chora, I mean, they don't have the das to do something, okay. The potential ability to do something, and then there's also the practical.
Excellent. Okay. That's exactly what I want to get. Excellent. Okay. Excellent, Schneer. So that's what we're getting at, right? There are two different ways to explain eino bar chiyuva. Is eino bar chiyuva only when... Sorry. Is eino bar chiyuva as long as the person practically cannot do the mitzvah? Or it's only when what? What's the other option? Is it only when you practically... Sorry. Is it as long as you practically can't do it? Or... Exactly. Or if it's not mechuyev, it's fundamentally not subject to the mitzvah. Those are two options. So again, one option is that as long as a person practically can't do the mitzvah, he's considered eino bar chiyuva. Or the other option is that no, even if he practically can't do the mitzvah, but if he fundamentally, mechuyev, then he will be a bar chiyuva. So again, the two options within bar chiyuva in terms of the getter bar chiyuva is that only if it is that about being practically able to do the mitzvah, or is that fundamentally being mechuyev in the mitzvah. We'll get to Shimi's point. There's a Gemara in Yevamos. Right? The Gemara in Yevamos, why did I have you guys see the Gemara in Yevamos? What was the Gemara in Yevamos talking about? Go for Shlomo. Exactly, right? And what's the clown, the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Dalet? That someone is only subject... Exactly. A person is only subject to Yibum if they're subject to Chalitza. If they're only subject to Chalitza if they're subject to Yibum. Then Tosos, based on that, Moshe asks a question. Is it sounds like that clown is not true. Why? What seems to disprove that clown? Kol Eino Ola Yibum Eino Ola Chalitza?
The case of chirish and
chirish. Exactly. Good. Why? Because a chirish can't do what?
It does not do chalitza.
Exactly, because he can't speak. Exactly, because he's supposed to speak as part of the chalitza.
But he does do either.
Exactly. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean? There's a stira to that klal in the Gemara, because a chirish who can't do chalitza, but yet he does yibum. So what does Tosfos answer, Moshe?
The answer is that because it's very hard for him to speak, we don't do chalitza, right?
Yeah, but... True, but what's the answer?
Is that he's still a bar chiyuva?
Excellent.
In chalitza, but because it's painful for him to speak and it's not really possible, then he doesn't do chalitza.
Good. In short, to translate into let's say more lundish terminology, is that even though he practically can't perform chalitza, he's still subject to chalitza, and that's the koveya, says Tosos, for this klal of kol which he assumes is vice versa as well. And Tosafot therefore presents this possibility that for kol ha'ola liyibam ola lechalitza and the parallel of bar chiyuva, that the koveya is not going to be whether you practically are subject to the mitzvah, but rather whether you are fundamentally subject to the mitzvah. Yeah.
Sorry, how is this different from onus rechlana patre?
What?
How is this different from onus rechlana patre?
Onus rechlana patre is just saying that you're not at fault.
Right.
So for either for an avera or not for a mitzvah.
Wouldn't it be the
chuliyah
anyway, not Hashem? You're saying the chuliyah by onus rechlana patre. Sounds pater, no?
Well, that's a whole discussion about whether.
Right. How is this discussion about bar chiyuva being about practical versus medical different from the discussion about onus?
Because, well, there's a whole discussion whether onus is mafkia the chiyuv. Again, it also depends. Like, you're talking about onus in the context of the mitzvah. Onus rechlana patre of pashas is mostly discussing onshin. That's a big question. Is that just a pitura onesh? Is there a chos the ma'is not there at all? So again, the carryover to mitzvahs, I guess you'd have a parallel. Is that like, you know, it's just like you're just not punished for not doing the mitzvah, or is it just but that you're not chayav at all? But
right, we use the lashon pitur v'chalitza, so it's like this cherish is a.
We're just saying because practically you don't do it. That's what we're saying. Is it practically you don't do it, but you're still fundamentally subject to it. That's what Tosafot
says. Yeah, I was saying that in the Mishnah though, that it's like in discussion. The Mishnah uses the lashon pater instead of chil. Like Gemara talks about why. The Gemara wants to say that it's because of this cloud. It's already in the Mishnah.
What?
It's already in the Mishnah.
Okay. Yeah.
The things that you just gave is more, according to how we just explained it, is one where the person is like too difficult for the person and doesn't make too much effort for him to do it.
Or that he can't speak. It's not too much effort.
That's why that like if totally if he was boring or about like a blind spot or something, and it was like impossible for him to speak.
Yeah, that's the pashas of Achirish that he can't speak. Yeah, pashas of Achirish that he can't speak. I mean, the Tosas is a lashon of it being like Tosas uses the lashon of that like, oh, it's like difficult, it's like painful for him. That's just Tosas is lashon. It's like more of like a lamdish lashon to describe that fundamentally he's still subject to chalitza. There's just a practical impediment. He's just using that lashon.
I mean,
but he can't speak.
He's using that to describe the person that actually can't.
Exactly. He's just trying to be machalic between like a fundamentally not subject to something and just practically, you know, it's a practical impediment that's stopping you from doing the mitzvah. That's just a lashon. Yeah.
So practically, according to Tosafot, if you have someone who has a very, very serious speech impediment but can force himself to speak, would they say that you would have to do a chalitza? Like, or if you want to do a chalitza, would they allow him to do a chalitza?
Pashtus.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah.
So how is Tosafot defining a bar chiyuva in reference to...
Again, Tosafot is not, it's very important, Tosafot is not in the context of bar chiyuva. He's in the context of a parallel idea of kol ha'ola liyibam ola chalitza. I mean, Achronim, such as Al-Dinizer, bring this Tosas as like a dimion for this chilik between a practical impediment and like a fundamental exclusion. Because it's like a similar idea of, you know, just like, you know, if you're Ola Libum, then you're Ola Chalitza here. So if you're subject to the mitzvah, you could be Motzi other people. It's like a parallel. They're using that as like a model for this idea that perhaps bar chiyuva, the koveya for bar chiyuva, in a bar chiyuva, is not just a practical impediment, but it has to be a fundamental exclusive. Oh. So again, so issue number one is going to be what's the gather of in a bar chiyuva? Is that any practical impediment, or is a dafka a fundamental exclusion? And the other issue at hand is going to be what is the gather of the mitzvah of shofar? Right? So obviously, if you're focusing on someone who can't hear, the question is going... Another issue you have to figure out is, so what's the Gedra Mitzvah? If the Gedra Mitzvah is limited to Shemiyah, so then this person is completely, from a practical standpoint, can't do any aspect of the Mitzvah. If it's all about the Tekiyah, then he's totally subject to the Mitzvah, even a practical standpoint. And if it's both, as we'll see from the Aruch HaShulchan, so he's subject to half and not the other half. So again, it's very important just before we get to the Mefarshim to realize that there are two different issues going on. Two variables. One issue is the geder of inu bar chiyuva, practical or fundamental. And the second issue is what's the geder of mitzvah shofar. Something that's good to just know what the two issues are, and then we're going to be able to now get into what the Rishonim, what the Mefarshim themselves say. Oh, so let's now we're going to see the two approaches about whether this chirish hamidaber v'inu shomea, right, whether he is a bar chiyuva or not. So the first approach we're going to develop is that he is a bar chiyuva, right? So the first approach of the Mefarshim that we're going to see right now is that a chirish hamedaber ve'ino shomea is a bar chiyuv, which means, Papashis, you're saying that since even though practically he can't do the mitzvah, because fundamentally he is subject to mitzvahs, therefore he's considered a bar chiyuv, assuming that the fundamental definition of bar chiyuv, the koveya, is whether you're fundamentally mechuyuv, not whether there's a practical impediment. Yeah. It's really
and as a bar chiyuv, is he able to be
mozi others? Oh, that is the nafkamina. If someone is a bar chiyuv, that means.
Definitely.
That means you can. That's enough kamina.
Even if he himself is not being yotze?
Exactly. Exactly. That's that. This machok is whether it's bar chiyuva or in a bar chiyuva. The main naf kamina is whether they could be motzi others. Kiva?
I know a sort of story about Sav Seifer that he went to school for Kedushes that was making them more like helping them improve.
Okay.
And when he got out, so I asked him if they're now kind of mitzvahs that are popular for Kedushes, and he said, no, because even though they're not really like the Kedushin anymore, we don't really know the underlying principles for everything. There might be something, as Al saw, that we did.
Interesting. Maybe it gets connected to the Bar Das factor. I mean, that's a regular Kedush, not a Kedush on the Daver. That's like a regular, but deaf mute, Papashas.
Yeah, but then if you apply this, you can say that for all. If you want to apply algebra, you can say that we don't really know the complete underlying purpose.
But we have Chazal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that's basically saying that, once they're in the category of an Edo Bardas, so then even though, I guess, they were taught to do some of these things, I'm assuming he meant they're still in the category of Edo Bardas and therefore still Potter. Here, we're talking about Chir Shamedaber, the Edo Shomea, since he speaks, he is considered a Bardas. Only question is, just what's the role of Shmir? Yeah.
And just practically, how does that, that he became deaf later in life?
You're talking me or you?
No, like in general, like how like a medaber v'eino shomea, right? That he became deaf in life, or was he deaf always? And somehow, how does he speak otherwise? I don't know. I'm asking that.
Practically, I think you can teach someone who's deaf how to speak.
Okay. It's never like the same.
Yeah, isn't that like the Helen Keller thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like even though she was also blind, but like you can teach someone who's deaf to speak. There is a concept, practically.
Yeah. Right, I'm just. There is an Akamina though, right? Meaning
between one and what?
Someone who became deaf later in life who was already a Bar Chiyuva, and then it's Mamish Kablai versus someone who was never.
Meaning deaf mute or became deaf? Well, someone who just becomes deaf is a Bar Chiyuva even afterwards.
Yeah, I'm saying let's say someone who becomes a Chayesh later in life.
Meaning Bukhar, from which. Ask after we do the. After within which particular shita? Okay, so first within the approach that they are bar chiyuva. So the first rishon we have is the Rimi Lanil, right? Rimi Lanil, one of the prominent rishonim, right? On the Mishnah on Chavtes Aman Aleph, again he's b'tapi arif, but on the commenting on the Mishnah on Chavtes Aman Aleph, let's get Nachi. Would you mind reading the Rimi Lanil? All right, so that's the classic Chirish Shatel Katan, Eino Bar Chiyuva, because of Eino Bar Das. Right, exactly. Rimalinel is saying that the Koveya is whether you are Bar Das. And since a Chirish Hamidaber Ve'eno Shomea is a Bar Das, therefore you're subject to mitzvahs, therefore you're considered a Bar Chiyuva. Right, he doesn't spell this out, but the Rimi Lanil is basically saying that even though practically he can't hear, even though practically he can't, presumably he can't do the mitzvah, Rimi Lanil says bar chiyuva because the koveya is not the practical impediment, but as long as he's fundamentally mechuyev badavar, he is going to be considered bar chiyuva. So that is the Rimi Lanil saying that the fundamental, the fundamental is koveya, the geder or bar chiyuva. And the same goes for the first day up in the Mi'iri. Right, the Mi'iri again in Chavtes Aman Aleph, also spells out that because a chirish hamidaber be'ino shomea is a pikeach, right? Because a pikeach l'chol dvarav, therefore he says he's a bar das, and therefore he's considered a bar chiva. So you have the Rimi Lanil and the Meiri both explicating that since a chirish hamidaber be'ino shomea is subject to mitzvahs generally, therefore is considered bar chiva, and implicitly they don't seem to care about the fact that such a person, a chirish hamedaber v'eino shomea, is practically is impeded from fulfilling the mitzvah. They don't think that is koveh. Oh. And now in terms of an achron who goes along the line of Rimi Lanil and the Meiri, but spells out this analysis, explicitly, is the Avdei Nezer. If you turn to Avdei Nezer, I think it's on the third page of the Makoros, right? The Avdei Nezer spells out this idea that the Koveya for Bar Chiyuva is fundamental. Yeshurun, would you mind? See the second paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Ein Dvarav Muvanimli. We'll get back to the first two lines later. All right, so the background, right? So right, the Shoel was basically assuming that the impractical impediment was Koveya, and then therefore has a certain suffix, which we'll get to later. But it says, all this Ein Dvar Muvanimli.
Ein Dvar Muvanimli. These words don't really make so much sense to me. The Ein Vagina from Sim and Lamitas, Siv Katan Hay. Demish and Nikta Zrayav Hasimas Kasher Lichtev Tfilin. The Pumahi de Kaavle. Someone whose left hand got cut off is still able to write Tfilin. He was using like the same phrase as Tosfos.
Exactly.
Like, it's just painful for
him. Exactly. It's an external impediment, right?
Yeah.
Practically, he can't put on tefillin.
But he can still write tefillin for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Gaber Bar Chiyuva. He's still fundamentally subject to the mitzvah. What? Yeah. I'm not going to get into that. The assumption here is that he's not subject to the mitzvah. He can't practically do the mitzvah. I'm not sure why he can't just put it on the other hand. I guess the question can't be kosher it, maybe because he can't do the kshira because there's another hand to do it. Maybe that's what it is. And then he, in the parentheses, he just quotes Tosas, this dimyon, right, of Tosas, which is Koveya, at least in the context of the parallel halacha of Kol Ol Yibam Ol Chalitza. The Koveya is not practical impediments, not where, right, you know, Cheresh can't practically, you know, do Chalitza, right, he's still fundamentally subject, and therefore that's the Koveya, so therefore he carries over here.
But at the end of the day, let's see, he's still a Bar Chiyuvi.
Yeah, and skip the brackets, that was just the Tosas that we did before.
Mm-hmm. Again, cause of the test here, Rosh Hashan. Vahachanami, Cheresh Bar Chiyuv, Shaifer, Megillahu. Upimi Kavle, She'enu Yachal Kayim. It's just a physical external impediment which is slowing him down.
Exactly. So, right, so the other answer is explicating this analysis that the Koveya for Enu Bar Chiyuva is only when you're fundamentally Mufka, when you're fundamentally not a Bar Chiyuva, but since this person is fundamentally, right, Chayiv in the midst of Shofar, he just practically can't do it, he's still considered Bar Chiyuva. And it's interesting, then he compares it to what?
Vimkain, Daimilaha the Khalha Brachis Kulan, Afal Tisha Yata Maitzi Mishon Arvas.
Okay, yeah, so what's the comparison here? He said, it's just like Arvas, the Yatsa Motzi. What's the comparison? That person who was already Yotzi the mitzvah no longer has a chi of mitzvah, meaning no longer needs to practically perform the mitzvah, but yet he can be Motzi others. Because the idea is because fundamentally he's shaykh to the mitzvah. Saying that's the same idea here, right? That since this Chirish HaMedaber V'eino Shomea, even though practically he's not doing the mitzvah, because he can't hear practically, but since fundamentally he's Mechuyav B'davar, he's fundamentally subject to the mitzvah, therefore he's Yachol Lahotzi Acher. That's an interesting dimyon that Avdei Nezer brings. So far we have the Rimi Lanil and the Meiri, who just say, because he's subject to the mitzvahs, he's a Bar Chiyuva, and the Avdei Nezer explaining the Lamdus, that the Koveya for Ein Bar Chiyuva, again, is this idea of fundamentally being Chayev in the mitzvah, not whether you practically can do the mitzvah. The last Mefarish, who thinks that the Cheresh HaMedaber, the Ein Shomea, is a Bar Chiyuva, is the Aruch HaShulchan. But the Aruch HaShulchan has a different presentation, has a different lumdus to why he thinks that the Cheresh HaMedaber of Ein Shomea is a Bar Chiyuva. Okay, so everyone can turn to the Aruch HaShulchan, right? So Aruch HaShulchan first quotes, right, the Rishonim, who say he's not a Bar Chiyuva because he practically can't perform the Shmia, but then the Aruch HaShulchan is going to come along and reject it. The second paragraph in the Aruch HaShulchan, let's get Sruli. Yeah, but Harya Mishnah. Right, the first paragraph he just quotes those who say that he's not Bar Chiyuva because he practically can't do it, and then he's gonna reject it right now.
In the beginning of Chagigah, the town called the Yavin be Reiya, puts in the chayyim shor the katan. Everybody's chayyim in Reiya.
In in your Oliel Regal.
In being a leader, regular that the Chayyim Shota Katan be Isa B'Gemara Shaman. So the Gemara over there, Katani, it teaches Chayyim Shomia the Shota B'Katan B'Bule. Right, that he's also right that they don't have that. Kitzan Chayyim Shadibru Bof V'Chamin. A Chayyim that speaks. Right?
Meaning a Chayyim that the Chachamim reference. Meaning when the Mishnayos mentioned Chachamim. When the Chachamim in the Mishnah mentioned Chayyim, talking there B'Chol Makom She'ino Shomaya
Be'ino Medaber. Right. Ha-medaber ve'enu shamea. But if there's one that speaks but can't hear, or shamea, ve'enu medaber, chayev.
Exactly, right? So that Gemara establishes that whenever the Mishnah says chirish, is basically inu bar chiyuva, that's only referring to inu medaber ve'enu shamea. And the Gemara says, but in like our case, a medaber ve'enu shamea is subject to mitzvahs.
Ve'inken, ze hedyok atzma yesh b'mishnah senu, right in our Mishnah, gam ken also. Ve'ze shekasu mishum de ha'ikar ki shamea, and those who write that the ikar shamea, ze hu de lo tem with the kol echem nifiyu, it's okay, but atzma, everybody should have to vote for himself, kide mashmea milosh.
Milosh and kol chayu.
Right, which is applied from
Lashon
of
Kol Chayav and
the
Pias Shofar. Exactly. Shanina.
That was
right. I did think, man, this is the same Aruch HaShulchan we saw the other day. This is where he is, I actually picked out these lines. Where he says, right, and don't be medayik that the Shmiah is the Iker, because that's what the Lashonos are focusing on. Because no, that's just coming to tell you that not everybody has to blow themselves.
Eile gam b'shmiah yotzer. You're also yotzer with Shmiah. Lefein, therefore, Dr. Rambam, the Rambam is Darish.
Now that's why, that's the only reason why the Rambam is meduyuk to say Shmiah, just to say that oh, not everyone has to do it. But really, aval vaday is the key.
Vaday gam at the kia ikar mitzvah. Also, the key itself is in the ikar aspect of the mitzvah. The eif shar la shmiah bo tkiya, and it's impossible to have tkiya shmiah without tkiya.
Exactly. Oh, so right. So now the Aruch HaShulchan says that since the gedar mitzvah is not only the shmiah, but it's also the tkiya, so therefore this is gonna be the key. Whenever you're ready. Aval Shanomar.
Aval Shemar de Bishvil Ha Eder Ha
Eder. Ha-eder is like the lack of.
Ha Eder Shmeh, right? The lack of Shmeh, he potter the garments, and he fully potter Kolki Hai.
But meaning to say, right, to say the Bishvil Ha-eder Ashmeh, ye potter the gamri, to say that because he practically can't do the Shmeah, is the difference between Eino Bar Chiyuva totally, Kolki Hai Havle La Mishnah Gemar Lefarish. The Gemara should have explicated that. Unclear what he means by that, because he did quote earlier. Farshim did say that, so I'm not clear exactly what he means by that. But basically, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying as follows, right? The Aruch HaShulchan does not have the same lumdus as the Aden Ezer. Right? The Aden Ezer is saying, who cares about practicality? As long as this person is a bar das, he's considered a bar chiyuva. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't say that, because then the Aruch HaShulchan wouldn't really care about the Gedar HaMitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to be holding that what is the koveya of bar chiyuva, of eino bar chiyuva, whether you could practically do the mitzvah. But, says the Aruch HaShulchan, since the gedar HaMitzvah is both the Shmiah and the Tekiah, so this person is not practically excluded from the entire mitzvah. He's only practically excluded from one half of the mitzvah, the Shmiah part. So the Aruch HaShulchan, again, repeat, says that a chirish hamedaber, the inner shomea, is a bar chiyuva, even though he accepts the gedder of eino bar chiyuva based on practical impediments. But he just says the only time you're going to be eino bar chiyuva because of practical impediments is if you're impeded from doing the entire mitzvah. But in this case, since the mitzvah is both the shmia and the tekiah, and since this person can practically perform the tekiah aspect, therefore he is considered a bar chiyuva. So Aruch HaShulchan, again, right, based on not only, you know, focusing on what the gedder of Eino Bar Chiyuva is, but also taking into account what the gedder of Mitzvah is able to say that, again, assumption number one, the gedder of Eino Bar Chiyuva is practical impediment, but it's only going to be if you're impeded from doing the entire Mitzvah. But because the gedder of Mitzvah also includes Tekiah, and this person is not impeded from doing the Tekiah, therefore he is considered Bar Chiyuva. Yeah?
According to Aruch HaShulchan, if someone had some sort of condition where they could not blow out and they couldn't hear, then they would not be bar.
That's what it seems like. Exactly. Even if they were bar das, right? They were bar das, right? So again, it would be against. I mean, Aden Ezer, the remilinil, and the first day of the Miri would say, no, he's a bar das. He's bar das, because the Aruch HaShulchan says it's all about practically being able to do the mitzvah. If a person practically couldn't be shomea and couldn't be tokea, then in a chananda you'd be.
According to him, is shmia or tokea higher, or are they both just two parts?
Seems like they're. When it says gam hatzikia ikar hamitzvah, it sounds like they're two equal parts. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Based off this, like maybe I'm missing something. Like, wouldn't a full charish also be able to be able to other people because he's technically able to do tkiya?
Eino bar das.
But we just felt he doesn't care about bar das, man. He just cares about practicality.
Meaning in the opposite way. Meaning for sure, if someone is eino bar das, eino bar chiyuva, I mean, for sure, if you're fundamental, it's saying that not only is a fundamental exclusion can be koveyu, also practical exclusions is going to be as both.
And so, it's not dafka.
He's trying to say that it's not that the fundamental exclusion is not the only koveya.
Practical
is also koveya. But for sure, if someone is
Because the Mishnah.
Exactly, that's clear. Yeah.
In order to that nazir, is there going to be a chilek between someone who becomes a teresh later and someone who's born a teresh in terms of whether Adam's ever hell and the Mishnah or Tuba?
According to Adnan Nazir, that's all about being a barchi. Meaning, if someone what's the case? A full cheresh, you're saying?
Yeah, someone was born a cheresh.
Oh.
If
someone's born not a cheresh, then it becomes a full cheresh.
Yeah.
As you're saying. Questions, is that... I'm not sure. It really depends on, like... Can you have your das removed? There is a concept of someone... Like nishtata. Someone becoming a shota.
Right,
and ever losing... Yes, there is a concept of you were a bar das and then you lose it. So could that carry over to a cheresh? I'm not sure. Because it could be that the lack of bar das for a cheresh... because... being deaf and being mute in of itself doesn't mean you is more the fact that I presume it's because you were born with that inhibited you from ever becoming a bar das. Yeah, I don't get that.
Right, so I'm sorry, and then also are we just saying that chalitza, the das is a matter for chalitza specifically?
What?
Das is a matter for chalitza specifically, we're saying?
Das?
Like the fact that bar das is a matter for chalitza specifically is because why should it say that it's just boom with the kai blay if he's not trying to bar das with club?
Oh.
We understood it to mean that
chalitza
is a specific word you need to say.
No, but I think Hashem is asking, but let's say he was a full cheresh.
Then he's just in Olive.
Which sounds like he is Olive.
But from the Mishnah, it's a cheresh.
Well, you don't necessarily need that for Yibam. That's another Mishnah.
Okay. That
happens even.
So, I'm sorry, just that's an important chiluk, meaning the fact that over there, you don't need to write as it's shy to say, because that's why he's not a bar chalitza. Whereas over here, where the bar das is an important point, there has to be someone who had das and then became like a chetzi shota, where he had das. I mean, he has to have had das the whole time, no?
Yeah, but we're not. But the assumption of, you know, the discussion of the chersh medaver veino shomea is the person is a bar das.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Meaning, that's why it's not. That's why this is considered as over there, but we can't apply it with the same scope over here. In every case of chersh, let's say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. So far we've discussed the Rishon, the Mefarshim, who say that Cheresh HaMadaber Ve'ino Shomea is a Bar Chiyuva, right, for the Rimi Lanil, first day in the Meiri and Adin Ezer, it's because the Koveya is fundamentally being Mechuyev B'mitzos, and he is. According to Aruch HaShulchan, even though the Koveya is practical impediments, in this case, Aruch HaShulchan, this person is not practically impeded from the entire mitzvah, because he can do the Tzkiyah, and therefore he is a Bar Chiyuva. Now moving on to the second approach, right, which says that eino bar chiyuva, that a cheresh hamedaber ve'eino shomea is eino bar chiyuva, meaning even though he's a bar das, still eino bar chiyuva. And we'll see, what's going to come out of this, is that these mefarshim are going to think that the koveya for eino bar chiyuva is whether you can practically fulfill the mitzvah. And these mefarshim, we'll see inside, are going to say that since the koveya is whether you can practically fulfill the mitzvah, and if you assume that the Gedra Mitzvah is the Shmiah, you put those two together, that's going to end up a Cheresh HaMadaber V'Eino Shomea being an Eino Bar Chiyuva. Yes, Isaac.
So really, the Aruch Shulchan fits that
category. In terms of the assumption, the first assumption about that the Eino Bar Chiyuva is about practical, but he disagrees about the second assumption about what the Gedra HaMitzvah is. That's why I was introduced it by saying there are really the two issues here. Number one, what's the Kovei of Eino Bar Chiyuva? Issue number two is what's the Gedra of Mitzvah Shofar? Okay, good. So the first Rishon who says this outright is the Kolbo. All right, again, this Kolbo is also quoted in the Beis Yosef, but I had you see the Kolbo, the original Kolbo. Yaakov, would you mind? The Kolbo spells out that the Cheresh HaMadaber Ve'eino Shomea is going to be an Eino Bar Chiyuva. Right, he spells out right. The mitzvah is talay on shmias kol, and this person can't hear. Vafilu.
Right.
Oh, so right, the Kobo is spelling this out, this analysis, that even though a Chirish HaMedaber, the Eino Shomea is a Pikeach L'chol Dvarav, and therefore is fundamentally Chayav in the mitzvos, but since he practically can't do the Shmia, and the Shmia is the Geder HaMitzvah, therefore Eino Bar Chiv. Right, so the Kobo, two assumptions. Number one, that the Geder HaMitzvah is the Shmia alone. Assumption number two, that the Koveya for Eino Bar Chiyuva is whether you could practically do the mitzvah. That is the Kobo. And the other Rishon is the Tashbetz, right? So the Tashbetz, actually, right, the context of the Tashbetz is that someone suggested that a chazen who can't hear shouldn't be, sorry, a chazen who can't hear should be puzzled for being a shliach tzibur. He says, no, that shouldn't be the case. And agav that, he brings in shofar. Yo, what do you mind? The shu Tashbetz? Right, so if you're trying to passel the chazan because he can't hear, what do you mean? He's still chayv in mitzvos. Oh. He says the mitzvah is all about the shmia, and this person can't. All right, continue. Right, so the Tashbetz is very clear. This person is chayv in mitzvos. He is a pikeach, but because practically he can't do the mitzvah because the getter mitzvah is the shmia, therefore eino bar chiyuva, and he can't be motzi others. Right. So the Kolbo and the Tashbetz both spell this out. And again, also the second day up in the Meiri also has the same type of analysis. Shneur, would you mind just reading? You see, it's like the fourth line in the Meiri, starting Mikol Makom.
Yeah, Mikol Makom, like Tzas Chach Me'achronim, Re'isi Shalini Shofar Af Medaber Ve'Eino Shomea Eino Motzi Shemei Acher She'Eino Shomea Eino Bar Chiyuv She'Davar Tolu Vashmiya. Behind Nusach Habracha Lishmoa Kol Shofar Ve'Acher She'Eino Bar Chiyuv Eino Motzi.
Exactly. So again, like our earlier analysis, he brings a raya from the Nusach Habracha of Shmiya that the Geder Mitzvah is the Shmiya, and again, since according to this Deya, since he practically can't do the mitzvah, therefore Eino Bar Chiyuv. Right, so you have the Kolbo, the Tashbetz, the Meiri, and so we have two groups. What is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin in terms of this issue? Anybody, Shalom, do you remember what is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? What? Exactly, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like this second approach. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins at the Koveya for Eino Bar Chiyuva is the practical ability to do the mitzvah, and he also Paskins that the Geder HaMitzvah is the Shmia. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch in Tav, Kuv, Pei, Tes Sif Beis says that a chirish, even is a chirish afilu medaber the eno shomea eno motzi to kevin the eno shomea lav bar chiyuvahu. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins again the two assumptions that the Geder mitzvah is the shmia and that the koveya is the practical ability to do the mitzvah. Yeah.
Why is the phraseology at least the Shulchan Aruch and other mekoros as well but that the emphasis is on hutzas achirin? Before, I feel like it should be that you can say that it's just pater, and mimeli, you know that he can't be motzi acherim.
Well, the focus is because, meaning, but he can't do the mitzvah himself because he can't do it.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not talking about that. I mean, since he can't hear the shofar, we're not talking about whether he's pater, because of course he's pater. Meaning, practically he can't do it. So the only nafkamina is whether he could be tokeh acher.
And so the shidus say that he's pater. The lawyers say that just like shame should be that he's pater because he's in a barchiv.
Therefore, he can't be motzi. Exactly. Right. So again, that's why the focus is always on. I mean, Shneur's bringing up a good point. Everyone's always focusing on whether being motzi others. The answer is because practically, he's not doing the mitzvah. The only nafkamina really is can he be the tokeya for others? Oh. So the last thing we're going to do for today is the interesting shaila in the Avnei Nevi. Right. So within this second approach, that the koveya for bar chiyuva is practically whether you can do the mitzvah. So the Shoel in the Avnei Nezer brings up an interesting chakira. What's the case that the Avnei Nezer, that the Shoel brings up in the Avnei Nezer? Not that the person is deaf and can't hear.
It's just closing his ears.
Just as like earplugs. Yeah. Right? So it's a very, so let's read it inside. It's an interesting shalom. So again, within the tzad, that the koveya for bar chiyuva is practically whether he can do the mitzvah. So the question is, what about a person who naturally could hear, but in this particular situation, he can't hear. Does that make him an Eino Bar Chiyuva or not? We'll analyze in a moment. Let's just see.
Different if he has control over that fact or not.
So That's an interesting point. I don't think he brings that up, but that would presumably be an important nekuda also. I mean, whether he has the ability to remove that impediment. Interesting story. Yeah, Rambam Gavi?
Said no, right?
What?
Didn't the Rambam bring up
what? Oh, yes. Yeah, in the Shivas Rambam, right? If there's something in his ears. But that's not from the context of Bar Chiyuva. That's just in terms of whether he's Yotze or not. The Rambam and Shuvah basically just said, if the Tekiah was the Koveya, then if someone would be Tokeya with earplugs in, he should still be Yotze. But yet we know that he's not. So that's not talking about whether he could be Motzi others. That's about whether he's being just practically whether he's Yotze in the Mitzvah.
Yes,
he's not talking about Bar Chiyuva. He's just talking about whether he himself is Yotze the Mitzvah. So he's saying, oh, if Tekiah was the Gedra Mitzvah, then as long as you're Tokeya, even if you didn't hear. And the example he gives, instead of giving the example of Tokeya L'Tochabur, he gives the example of being Tokeya with earplugs. So he gives his parallel case, but it's different. He's not really giving the Tachis to our ear. So Gavi, just read the suffix of the Shovel. Harry, but the old name, right? Something. He sticks something in his ear. The Divrei HaKol is a little strong here, right? So he's saying, is it similar to the Chirish HaMedaber Ve'eino Shomea, according to the Shitos who say that you're not Yotze? Meaning that the practical impediment is Koveya, and therefore this guy also practically can't do the mitzvah? Or just skip to the old Dilma at the end of the line? So those are the tzadim. So again, it's interesting. So again, different these two tzadim within the tzad that the practical, practically being able to do the mitzvah is koveya. So here you have the suffix in the Avdei Nezer, at least in the show in the Avdei Nezer. And one way to, let's say, conceptualize this is that is the chisaron mitzad the gavra. Right? Is it that the gavra mitzat atzmo is impeded from doing the mitzvah? Is that the only case? Right? Is it only when the gavra mitzat atzmo is impeded from the mitzvah? Is that the only time it's ein bar chiyuva? Or is it as long as there's also impediment mitzat the situation? Right? That's a way to conceptualize it. The suffix is it that it's davka when it's mitzat atzmo, that from the gavra himself doesn't have the capacity to do the mitzvah? Or is it, what about, do we also include impediments which come from the situation? Right, it happens to be right. The person himself naturally can hear, but the situation he finds himself in, because there are earplugs in his ears, practically he can't hear. So that is the suffix of the Shoal and the Adonizer. Interestingly, right, if the Koveya is practical impediment, so again, conceptually, is the impediment only going to be Koveya if it's Mitzad the Gavra himself, or is it also going to be Koveya if it's Mitzad, right, the Matzav Mitzad, the situation? So if you look carefully at the first two lines of the Adonizer basically says that, let's just read it inside. Y'all, would you mind reading the first two lines of the
Tshuva?
Yeah, the Tshuva.
After the day of the Tshuva, the Tshuva, the time, the Tshuva, 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 the Tshuva.
Oh. Right, so he's saying, because the reason of Psul is Eino Bar Chiyuva, so he says in this case, where it's not Mitzad the Gavra, he says it's Pashut that what? That he would be considered Bar Chiyuva. So Avdei Nezer is saying, if I were to accept your assumption, right, that the Koveya for Eino Bar Chiyuva is practical impediments, so then it's only when the impediments are Mitzad the Gavra. That's what Avdei Nezer says. But he then goes on to say, but I disagree with your whole assumption. I happen to think that the Koveya for Eino Bar Chiyuva is not practical impediments. It's rather whether you're fundamentally shayach to the mitzvah. But it happens to be, but just know those two lines in the Avdei Nezer is Mizyachis to the question. He says, but if I were to accept your gedder that Eino Bar Chiyuva is based on practical impediments, then I would have to say that it's only when the impediment is Mitzad the Gavra and not Mitzad the situation. So we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll pick up in the next segment.